Kaylee Herndon, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so excited to have you on. If you wouldn't mind introducing yourself to our audience.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. Yes, I'm Hillary Herndon. I am the viola professor here at UT and the head of the string area.
And word on the street is that you are starting a new project on UT's campus within the School of Music. Could you give us a little bit of information? What's that all about?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something we're very excited about. We've just started working on this. The string faculty, along with some of our student assistants, are working to create a database that we will then take from to create a series of pedagogical books for string instruments, so violin, viola, cello, and bass, that are all music written by composers who are traditionally underrepresented.
Does it officially have a name yet?
Not yet. We've been working on it, but we don't have a working title yet.
So you said that it's for just string instruments? Will there be other departments as well?
Well, actually, so it's funny because you're interviewing me before we've had our first full faculty meeting of our director has asked me to introduce this topic to the rest of the faculty. So it is very possible that it might grow to include the other instruments as well. But at the moment, we've got it started with strings.
That's very exciting. And what inspired you to take this project on? I'm sure that it hasn't been easy, even though you haven't had your first meeting yet. I'm sure you've probably reached some
obstacles. Well, so this has been, I think, a long time coming for me personally.
Okay.
So my first recording that I did in 2012 was a 2-disc volume of works by women composers for viola. And that had started because one of our big standard pieces is the Clark Sonata, and it's by Rebecca Clark. And I remember very vividly playing this in a recital, and the audience kind of, when I mentioned that it was a woman, there was an audible gasp. Because it is such a standard work for viola, I just always grew up with that, knowing this work, and it never really occurred to me how surprising that would be to someone in the audience. Mm-hmm. And after that concert specifically, a father came up to me, and he had his daughter with him, and he was profoundly thankful to have had that exposure for his daughter, because he said that she wasn't being shown things like that. And it really stuck with me. And that's right. What led to me researching works for viola that I then recorded two. It was so much that we ended up with having to cap it at 2 CDs.
Wow.
It started as one and then it became 2. And we probably have a third in the works for that. But fast forward over time, and since then I've done a few other projects and traveled and seen other things. And another poignant story, just recently I took the viola studio to Poland, where they presented, and we saw another presentation by a young woman who had recently graduated from a rather famous music school. And she said that her teacher had assigned the studio everyone to perform one work that represented their heritage. And her family was historically from the Caribbean, and she was assigned the Jamaican rumba. And it's a great piece, but it's by an Australian composer.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And she was really disheartened by the fact that her teacher couldn't find works for someone that more accurately reflected her heritage, rather than a representation from someone who came from outside that culture. So that really got me thinking, and there's so many students that feel similar, or that maybe families don't get their children involved because they don't see a place for them in this classical music world. So those pieces are there. So we just need to go find them, and then we will edit them and get them into a compilation. And we plan to record them. The faculty will record the pieces so that the students can listen to them and the teachers can listen to them and say, oh, this is a great piece for, little Johnny. Right. and then hopefully this is not meant to transplant the standard repertoire, because those all exist for a reason. They have survived the test of time. But hopefully this will allow other opportunities for students to get involved.
Most definitely. That's really great. Those stories that you mentioned really hit home for me. and I know that there are other organizations such as, I know you're familiar with them, Sphinx, as well as the Rachel Barton Pine Foundation, have similar projects that are also undergoing. What do you hope will set this project apart from those other organizations?
First of all, I'm so glad that all of these things are happening.
Right.
There's room for all of it. We need as much as we can get. This specific project, we are hoping to include in each volume works from a really broad range, so not specifically just Black composers or not just women composers, but to have a variety. So at the moment, our database has over 3,000 names in it, and that's representing women composers, Black composers, composers from Asia, from Latin America, Native American composers. So this is a much broader, so it's not as specific, but it'd be a place for people to go to get just more variety. Also, I have to say, we are really hoping that we can choose works that are not already included in these other anthologies.
Okay.
So it will just be additional repertoire available.
That's really interesting that you were talking about how when you played the Rebecca Clark Sonata, the father came up to you and he said, oh, you didn't know that this existed. And now you're telling me you have 3,000 names in your database already before you've even officially started.
Right. So, today the team met to divide up those 3,000 names, and
Crazy.
Each person is going to go and look for all the repertoire they can find written for strings, for orchestra, for chamber music, for string instruments, and include it in this database so that then we can start to cull and select those pieces into pedagogical books.
So you said that the faculty at UT will be recording those. Do you think the public will have access to those recordings, or will they be sold specifically with the pedagogical books, or how will that be?
No, we hope to have them separate so that people can listen to them as well separately. They're not going to be included alone. In other words, you don't have to buy just the book in order to hear it.
So if a listener has music or composers that they may want to suggest to you or make sure that gets on this list, how can they contact you?
Sure. Well, my email address is available on the UT School of Music website, but it's hherndon, H-H-E-R-N-D-O-N, at utk.edu. And we would love to hear from you. I know we have 3,000 names, but I am sure we have a ton out there that we haven't added yet.
Wonderful. Hillary Herndon, thank you so much for coming down to the studio and talking with me about this exciting new project.
Thank you.